So today we're going to look at, can anybody guess?
Better, stronger together.
Almost. Stronger, better together. Stronger, better together. We looked at Noah. What was Noah? What was the subject of Noah? Faithful. Obedience. Then we looked at Abraham. What was that? Self-sacrifice. Then we looked at Joseph, which was self-control. You're looking at notes? Okay. Then we looked at Moses. What was Moses? That must have been a good sermon, that one. Unworldly, not being like the world. We look at men, and we made reference to Rahab, female, who chose to do what God had asked them to do, and it made a tremendous difference, not just to their lives, but the lives of others, and in some cases, the lives of nations. And we're looking at them to hopefully they will inspire us as a church, they will inspire us as a family, inspire us as individuals to do great things for God, to not just sit and be pew warmers, to not just sit and let somebody else do the work, but allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us and say, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do in the season that I have now? And so I'm praying that today, again, it will encourage you as we continue to look at men and women, but men today, who applied something to their life and made a difference. So today we're going to be talking about being wholehearted. Wholehearted, that doesn't mean to say have a hole in your heart. Can you say the word wholehearted? And we're going to look at an amazing man called Caleb. Caleb in the Old Testament in a minute. But you know, Christians are often dismissed as wimpy. Oh, they're wimpy, aren't they? They're only Christians because they've got problems. Ned Flanders, oh, I hate that character with a vengeance. Weak man, pretend to be a Christian. Or Vicar of Dibley. Morty Vicar, and people come here, you know, to this church and they go, oh, I didn't expect church to be like this. This is different, isn't it? We're not called to be weak and wimpy. We're called to be humble, but we're not called to be weak and wimpy. We're actually called to be warriors in a spiritual battle. Amen. We're warriors. We're not weak, we're not spineless. We have a very good, strong backbone, although my back is weak in the natural, spiritually it's not. We fight against this world. We fight against our flesh. We fight against the devil. We're going to talk about those three things in a minute. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We fight against them every day. We fight against arguments in this world that come against us with the truth of the gospel. This is how we fight. We fight with the armour of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to look at that now, but we've got some great teaching on that. We stand up to the spiritual forces of Satan with the armour of God. And we're going to look at a man called Caleb, this veteran, hardened warrior, who at 85, did something nobody else could do. It says this in the Word of God, that Caleb wholeheartedly fought battles because of his faith in God's promises. Because of his faith in God's promises. He didn't fight battles because of his own strength. He didn't fight battles because somebody said, oh, you're a good fighter, you go and fight that battle. He fought a battle because of the promises that he had, that God had given him. And that is so important for us to understand that. So, as we read about Caleb, we will find that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And his faith in God's promise gave him the courage to get his inheritance. His faith in God's promises to him gave him courage. We're not talking about beer now. We're talking about people that are not full of courage normally, that from somewhere they draw this courage because God has said something to them. They believe what God has said. It brings courage in their life. And Caleb grabs hold of that and he says, I want my inheritance. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you want your inheritance? Do you? You see, my inheritance, your inheritance is this town. It doesn't belong to the world. It doesn't belong to Redditch Borough Council. It belongs to the church. This is our inheritance now, and then we have our inheritance in heaven. But the faith in God's promises, not in ourselves, will give us the courage to take our inheritance. We're not weak or spineless. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and the stakes are people's lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's read this together. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold of the eternal life for which you were called. Take hold of it. Grasp it. For which you were called when you made a confession to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, okay, we'll just get on with life and hopefully you'll make it to the end. He gives us his best gift, his Holy Spirit, enabling us to live the life he's called us to live. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Caleb taught us how to fight wholeheartedly. He was a hero of the faith. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. So what's he doing? He's reminding himself, reminding everybody else of the promise that God has made him. I was 40 years of age when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But, tell you what, buts get in the way, don't they? But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God. What? How did he follow his God? So that the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your... It will be your inheritance and that of your... Forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time, he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years of age. Maybe one day I might be on this stage saying, so here I am today, 85 years of age. Maybe I won't. But the Lord followed, Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. See, Caleb's confidence was not that God would give him whatever he wanted. Unfortunately, there's teaching that goes around that on the God channel and the channel. So they say, you know what? You just need to ask God whatever you want, and you know, it's such a good God, he'll give it to you. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Whatever you need, whatever you want, he's the kind of God that will give you whatever you want, and then you don't get it, and then you get disappointed with God. That's not what we teach here. That's not what we believe. We believe that Caleb's confidence was that not what God would give him whatever he wanted if he had enough faith for it. His confidence was in God's faithfulness to honour his promises. And I want you to be confident that God is faithful to honour his promises to you. Some of you in this room have had words from God which you know are from him. Have confidence in his promises. Some of the promises are found in this word that says yes and amen. Have confidence in the promises. Have confidence in them. That's where your courage comes from. You know, I might say something to you and it might not come about, but if God says come something, it will come about. But he's 85 years of age. He's had a journey. His faith in God's promises removed any fear he had in any opposition that came against him. And let me tell you, the enemy will come to oppose us. And what the enemy wants to do is bring fear so that you will not fulfill God's plan for your life. He will want to make you fearful. You know, we talked about the roaring lion. Did we sing about the roaring lion today? Jesus is the roaring lion. Satan is the roaring kitten. Now, he can make a lot of noise and he is powerful. And I'm not making a joke of him, because he is somebody that is powerful. But compared to Jesus, he's a kitten. When Jesus roars, watch out. Watch out. Watch out, Redditch, when Jesus roars over this place. Verse 6, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. And Caleb refers to the promise a number of times. His faith isn't optimism. It isn't, I just hope it will happen. He trusted God that whatever obstacles came his way, he would overcome. He trusted God that much. And so the fears that he probably had, which he would have had some fears, he wasn't Superman, he overcame every fear because of the fact that God keeps his word and he would trust him. And I want to say to you, as we move forward as a church and as we trust God for things that we perhaps have never had to trust him before in our life before, we will overcome obstacles together if we trust what he says. If you trust me and what I say, we won't. If we trust him and what he says, we will. And this is so important that we understand, to love God, to follow him wholeheartedly, that we need to put our trust in him. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God makes a promise, nothing can overcome it. Nothing or no one can stop the Lord. Not even the strongest principalities and powers over this town can stop what the Lord wants to do. They are impotent. They are unable to stand against the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your life is safe in his hands. You've got to walk with him. You've got to stay walking with him. You've got to trust him with your life. You've got to trust him with everything and not try and make decisions for yourself and put your hands on when God says, take your hands off and let me do it. Because I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. Unless it's like electrical stuff, then ask Josh. Or some practical stuff around the house, then ask Josh. But I like to fix people, but I have to take my hands off. And you know, I've taken my hands off with some of the people because I can't fix them, only God can fix them. But nothing can set. Can we put the verse up again from the beginning, Kate? And we're going to read that together. You might want to write it down. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God makes many promises to us in his word, and each one of these can be trusted. That can be trusted, and you're to wholeheartedly follow them. If I was to be taken out the picture tomorrow, I want you to wholeheartedly follow this word as you've never done before. You know, Caleb, his faith in God alters his view in the opposition he faced. He was sent with Joshua and other spies into the land. They all saw exactly the same thing. Beautiful land, beautiful fruit, very gorgeous land, lots of place to grow your vegetables, your food, everything you need. They all saw the giants in the land. They all saw the big walled cities in the land. But Joshua had a word from God, and Caleb had a word from God, said, "You'll inherit it." And holding on to that promise from God made him see, even though they talked about themselves like grasshoppers in the land with the giants, Jacob and Caleb said, "Yeah, the land's beautiful. There's all this, and we can take it. We can take the land." The other 10 said, "Oh, the land's beautiful. There's loads of food, but there's the giants in the land, and there's the walled cities, and we're just like grasshoppers, and we can't." And they convinced a whole nation, "We can't. Oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult. God's brought us to a place which we can't possibly have." And they influenced the people so that they lost heart. Joshua and Caleb didn't. Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we can take the land. This is our inheritance, guys. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to my brothers, please. Whatever you do, stop listening to them. We've got to listen to God." But the people said no. Do you know what? I think Caleb and Joshua had a pretty rough time for 45 years. They were criticized. They were mocked. I wonder if they were even threatened by the other families. "Shut up, Caleb. Don't say another word. Otherwise we'll have you. Stop giving people false hope. His life was hard." Listen, 45 years he waited. 45 years of funeral after funeral, watching each of one of those men and their families die. Who's fed up of going to funerals? We are, aren't we? We don't like funerals. 45 years he had to go every week, every month, to the families of those people that perished in the wilderness, those ones that criticized him, the ones that called him stupid, the ones that said to him, "You haven't got a clue. There's no way we can take that land." And that affects Caleb because he cannot go into the promised land until they're all dead. Because God says, "Okay, there's either blessing or judgment. What do you want? If you go in, there's blessing. If you don't go in, there's what? Judgment." We all think, well, you know, we want your blessing, God. We don't want your judgment. But there is judgment for disobedience. They should have taken the land 45 years before. And what happened was they didn't reach their potential. And they died in the wilderness. And they never got to the promised land. I don't know if I've got 45 years left. I'm 57. I'm telling you now, there's a window of opportunity. We have to go and do and be what God wants us to be. Because there's things coming in this nation that we'll try and... Doors will close. We have to do it now. There's giants in the land. But we can overcome them. 45 years he waited for his inheritance. And he had to watch people die. But he remained faithful to God. If we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to see opposition in the light of God's promises. Anybody like wrestling apart from me? My kids think I'm mad. Anybody here remember Big Daddy? Some of you, who's Big Daddy? Do you remember Big Daddy, Josh? It was this big wrestler I used to get in the ring. I used to have the Big Daddy splat. I used to love it. Get him, get him. I want to encourage us today in an illustration I'm going to do. So guys, can you get yourself ready now, please? Those I've asked you to get ready. I want you to imagine this is a wrestling ring. Okay. And I'm in the I get in the wrestling ring of life. And I'm there working out, looking at life, thinking, do you know what? I can take anything on. my muscles. See, I know you guys. Strength I have. I can take on the world. But then what happens is my flesh rises up. Flesh, can you come onto the wrestling ring? This is my flesh coming up onto the wrestling ring. Broken arm. You have new name, broken arm. Okay. And I think, you know what? That's my flesh. I can beat him. He's not that strong. Looks a bit weak to me. I can take him on. Do you know what? I can fight him. I got the courage. He's not that scary, is he? But then the world comes. Come on, world. The world comes as well. And actually, there's two of them now. There's the world, and there's that's it. Stand there, world. Don't get too close. I can take you on. I'm still not that scared. But I'm in a battle now. It's not just me and my flesh. It's the world that's in the ring. Then enters the devil. Come on, devil. I don't know why you're all the way at the back. You should be ready. Come on, devil. Devil enters the ring. Oh, my goodness, me. I've now got my flesh I'm battling against. I'm fighting against the world. I'm fighting against the devil. These are a tag team now. And it seems like in the world, it's them versus me. It's getting a bit scary, isn't it? What am I going to do? Fear starts to come in. Fear starts to come. Three of them, one of me. Can I do this? Can I live the Christian life? Can I survive as a Christian? Christianity is not about survival. Christianity is about victory. Because you see, we have a but God moment. A but God moment. That's you, Emmanuel. Okay. Emmanuel jumps into the ring. Don't get hugging the devil. You see that wrestling when somebody else comes in the ring to help you. And you know what? The flesh disappears. Au revoir, à vie design, goodbye. The world disappears. And the roaring kitten leaves the ring. Because it's me and Jesus. It's the promises that God's given me. And that tag team, which is so powerful, I look around and who's there? It's me and Jesus. Jesus gives me the courage to carry on. Thank you, Jesus. Satan may promote his teaching. These powerful enemies are increasingly hostile. Materialism has given birth to hedonism. Secularism is trying to suppress Christianity. Atheism proclaims that God is a delusion of mental illness. And if we believe in God, we must have some mental illnesses. The world is certainly a powerful enemy. Our sinful nature tempts us in all different ways. Our own flesh is a powerful obstacle. Satan promotes false teaching. Satan says, well, God, if God is really good, why does he allow people to suffer then? Why does God allow suffering if he's so good? He allows suffering because sin came into this world, and with sin comes death and suffering. And it happens because we live in a sinful world. As hard as it is, people we love die. People we love suffer. People we care about, things, bad things happen to good people because we live in a sinful, broken world. And it will continue till that, until Jesus comes. And you know what Satan will come and say? Did God really say that? Like he did in Genesis. Did God really say that in the Bible? Are you sure that's what he said? No, he wouldn't say that, would he? He's a good God. The times that I'm having to counsel people over the last few months that think it's okay to live a sinful life and God will be okay with it. But his word hasn't changed. And it doesn't matter what I think or what I say, actually that is irrelevant. What this says is the most important thing. And he has said it, and he does say it, and we either be blessed by it or we live under judgment. Joshua 14, verse 8 to 9. My fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God. What was the word? So, on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Numbers 13:30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb's faith and Joshua's faith set him apart from everybody else. If they were all out here, you could spot them, because they were a different spirit than the others. And you know what? I can't talk for any other church in Redditch. I'm not responsible for them. I'm only responsible for us. I'm accountable for us. When I stand in front of God, I'm just not going to stand for my own life, but for us. Everybody wants to be a pastor until they don't want the responsibility. There are times I'd love to sit just to be in the congregation. I'm called at this time not to do that. But what I'm asking you today is that when people look at you from the Oasis family, and if you're visiting today, please come and join us, they go, that person's of a different spirit. They're not like other Christians, I know. They're not like the Vicar of Dibley, more tea vicar. They're not like that, a weak Christian. There's something about them. They've got a warrior spirit. They want to take the land. They want their inheritance. God's not looking for weak people. He's looking for warriors today who will wholeheartedly trust him and fight for him and rely on the promises that he has given in his word. And today, we need that if we're going to be stronger, better together. But you know what? If we have a different spirit, there'll be people that criticise us. There'll be people that don't like us. There will be people that threaten us. I've had all those three. I've had people come to the door and threaten me. We were helping a young lad out of drugs, and he used to be a drug runner for his dad, and his dad and his brother came to threaten me. We'll have all that. But you know what? Big Daddy's in the ring with me. He can do a Big Daddy splat on them. And my dad's bigger than yours. Do you believe that? Do you believe your dad's bigger than theirs? Because I tell you what, if anybody did anything to me, my dad would have got on when they'd have been in trouble. And my Heavenly Father will fight for me. And they're in trouble. Because they don't stand against me, they stand against the living God. Nothing and no one can stop God keeping his promises. One day we will face Jesus, and Jesus will take us to look upon the promised land, heaven. He'll take us to our house. He'll take us to our village. He'll take us to our town. We'll look upon the land and we'll say, this is a beautiful land, and we'll inherit it because we've done what God has said. You might be struggling on this earth. You might still struggle on this earth till the day you take your last breath. But I tell you what, your inheritance in heaven is coming. But there's an inheritance here now for us. And while we're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus, while we're waiting, we need to be wholehearted for him. Amen? Amen. That's my introduction. I'm going to be 5 more minutes, Luma. Is that okay? 5 minutes. Caleb's faith enabled him to wait. 45 years he waited. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years of age. If we take his friend Joshua, Joshua came out of Egypt to go in the promised land. Joshua, I'm not sure how long Caleb was in slavery. I'm not sure exactly the ages, but they were close. Joshua was 38 years in slavery. It's almost like being in the world before you knew Jesus. Okay, in a sense. I'm just stretching it a little bit. 38 years in Egypt, in slavery. He comes out of slavery, and he thinks he's going into the promised land, and it takes him 40 years struggling in the desert. Some of you have got saved and it feels like you're in the desert struggling. Promised land's coming. He spent 7 years fighting to take the promised land. 7 years. Hard battles, blood, sweat, tears, heartache. Made some big mistakes, actually, as everybody does. So 38 years of slavery, 40 years in the desert, 7 years fighting in Cana to take his inheritance. And can be like that for us. Can be like that for God. When is it going to change? When is it going to get better? When are things going to be so much easier for me in my life? I have some news, they're probably not. They're probably not yet. I think in the nation we live, we're going to have some more difficult things to face than we've ever faced before. Some challenges we've never faced before. Some of them in my generation, it was like 5 or 10 years we'd see a change. Now we're seeing change so quickly. And the generation, Ella, Marcus, what's your name? Alexander, Simon. Their age is seeing things happen so quickly. And we're going to see that. Caleb knew the only reason he and Joshua were alive was because of the sustaining power of God. The only reason I'm here today and I didn't die is because of the sustaining power of God. The only reason this church is here today is because of God's sustaining power. And that is what will keep us and enable us to move forward. Joshua 14 verse 11. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go into battle now as I was then at 85. Caleb wasn't saying to the next generation, you go and fight. I'm just going to sit back. I've done my thing, guys. I've served the church now, I've served the people, I've stood up against the enemy, I've been a different spirit, but now it's your turn. No, no, no. He says, I'm still the same today. He wasn't looking to fade into retirement. Andrew. Ian. I'm not going to fade into retirement. Anybody been to the supermarket and bought food Best Buy date? Yeah. Anybody ignore that? Or do some people look at it and go, whoa, is that a date now? In our household, things go in the fridge, in the bin. If that a date. I go, it'd be okay, it's only a month old. That mouldy stuff, it's all right. It's good for you, isn't it, penicillin? How many of you think in your life it now says out of date? And just pass me my phone, please. I have a new app on my phone. It's heaven sent. And I want you to think what your out of date date is. Because I'm going to change it. So on my app, you've now got another 10 years. Hypothetically. Changing all your out of date dates. Getting my spiritual eraser and rubbing them out. Tell you what, if I was in charge of Elim churches today, which I'm not, I get all the retired ministers and say, get back to work. Because you're still breathing. You've still got breath in your life. I don't know how popular it'd be, probably not very popular. But I'd be saying, hang on a moment, you're not retiring now. There's people to be saved, there's a world to save, that we need Jesus. What's your out of date date? Change it now, today. Think about it. If you think you're out of date, I'm sorry, the news from the past today is it is not. Joshua 14, verse 12. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Because of his faith in God's promise, he was determined to receive the hill country. The ultimate goal for us, I've nearly finished, Liam, if you could come, is for us to reach the promised land, which is heaven. To get there and the Lord to meet us in the air, to receive us, take us from our bed when we leave, take our last breath. And he says, come on, well done, good and faithful servant. That is our ultimate inheritance. And God is going to give you an inheritance that will blow your mind. There's an inheritance now we still need to have. This is our town. There are lost people out there that are in a wrestling ring, in a tag team, where they feel totally helpless. And the tag team is destroying them. But we have a but God. And we're going to stand for our inheritance. With God's strength, nothing was beyond Caleb. What others might have seen as an obstacle, he saw as an opportunity. When we have faith like Caleb's, we will see opposition as a wonderful opportunity for God to glorify him. What we need is faith in a great God. We don't need great faith. People think, well, I haven't got enough faith. You've got enough faith. Because your faith is in him, not in you. So you have enough faith in a great God. Let's just finish now with Joshua 14, 13 to 14. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Verse 15. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. What happened to the land? Less. Caleb outlived Joshua. Caleb lived longer. And what he said was, there's a city over here, guys. Whoever takes this city, whoever fights and takes this city can have my daughter's hand in marriage. I'm not saying whoever takes Redditch. Othniel took the city, married his daughter. Do you know what happened in Israel? He was the first judge. 40 years of peace. 40 years of peace came to the land. We could have peace in this nation. We could. It becomes a godly nation. And what Caleb does is, okay, I changed my sell-by date till I took the land. Now I can sit back and retire. Now I can enjoy my grandchildren. Now I can enjoy peace. And I want us to have that. I pray that we do. But in the meantime, we need to take the land. Is there any Othniels in the room? Any Othniels? Take the town. Will you? Will you be an Othniel today and serve the Lord wholeheartedly? We're going to worship together. We're going to take another song. What's the final song, Lim?
Goodness of God.
The goodness of God. And as we sing this song, and then I'll finish at the end, we're just reminding us of a few things. As we finish with this song, when you stand, Would you dedicate your life to be an Othniel today? Would you change the sell-by date? The best date. Would you change it and say, Lord, I am ready. If you don't want to do that, it's your choice, but we're not going to be stronger, better together unless we do this. We're going to be weak and spineless, and we're not going to make the impact that we need. And it's going to cost some of us our lives. It's going to cost us everything that we have on this earth. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're watching today, if you're not a Christian, to follow Jesus costs you everything, because it cost Jesus everything. Jesus gave his life on a cruel cross. He took your place and mine. He showed us what it means to be a man that was not spineless or weak. And he died for you and me to give us a hope and a future and an inheritance. The Bible says that all who put their trust in him will be saved. That means you will receive inheritance. But for those who do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not receive an inheritance in heaven. There is another place prepared for you to go. You don't want to go there. You have an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. I want to beg you, do it. Do it today. People online, they can connect with you now. Hit the prayer button and speak to them online. They'll help you. After the service, Emmanuel will be here. If anybody in the room wants to give their life to Jesus, then please see Emmanuel and talk to Emmanuel. He'll be available to do that. Let's take our song, last worship song, and as we do so, let's ask the Lord, speak to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll be an Othniel today for you. Thank you for listening.